Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the FXR Racing Race Tech Suspension Privateer Island Pod. This is number 229, Gage Linville. I don't know anything about this kid, but I'm looking forward to talking to him. And he's on the Dirt Bike Depot team. He's made all the main events this year, which caught my eye. I saw him riding at the Lawrence compound. I saw him, or I talked to Yogi about him as well. So, yeah, looking forward to talking to him and getting to know more about him. And hopefully you people we'll learn more too as well. So thank you to Race Tech. Pulp 24 is a code to save. Motors, suspension, Race Tech, racetech.com. They've got you handled. You can use the code to save money with Race Tech. Tell me, listen to Pulp MX. And when you rebuild your suspension, get your motor work done, they can do it. And if you're an engine tuner out there, that you can sign an NDA, ship off your motors to your heads off to Race Tech, and they will do all the magic for you for them, precise with their CNC machines. Thank you to Race Tech for making this podcast happen, and FXR Racing as well. You look at Jeremy Martin. You look at Garrett Marchbanks, that Phil guy. Many guys were on an FXR out there. And Pulp 30 is the code to save at FXRRacing.com. Snow, fishing, moto, they got it all. FXRRacing.com, casual wear as well. So thank you to the folks at FXR for coming on this podcast. They support a lot of privateers over the years and done a lot of great things. So thank you to the folks at FXR. I'll tell you more about Firepower and Maxxis later on in the show. Thank you to RoostMX, RoostMX.net. 48-hour turnaround. They got a whole Pulp Nation section on their website as well. From custom graphics, number plates, wraps, team shirts, easy ups, anything marketing-wise, anything that you can put your logo on, RoostMX can do it. And RoostMX.net is the place to go. Pulp Nation is the code to save with that code. So go on there and check it out, man. Thanks to the Roost guys for coming on board. And also Alpine Stars. Yeah, Tech 10s, Tech 7s, A1 chest protectors. They got knee guards as well if you don't wear the braces. They got elbow pads. They got this new air vest they're launching for dual sport stuff. And, yeah, Alpine Stars, man. Alpine Stars protects. Thank you to those guys for coming on board this show as well. Gabrielle and everybody there doing really good, cool things. So they're helping out privateers as well. All right, here's Gage Linville and I talking about, life as a privateer, his results this year, and more. Thanks for listening, everybody. All right, with me, as promised, here on the FXR Racing Race Tech Suspension Privateer Island Life Podcast, a kid that I know nothing about, but I'm looking forward to to learning more. He's off to a great start as a privateer on the 250 East Series. Gage Linville, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm good. Just, same stuff, different day, riding, getting prepared for the weekend.
You're off to a good start, huh? Are you stoked with your season? 17th in points, every single main event. How's it been going?
Yeah, no, the season's been good. I don't know. I wouldn't say stoked. You know, I'm definitely eager to get more. Mm-hmm. I expect a little more out of myself. But compared to where I was last year, it's night and day different. So that's always a plus. Just got to keep building from here and get better every weekend.
Yeah, you made a couple mains last year, two or three mains. Did you go to every race and this is the improvement from last year?
Yeah, so I made two last year, but my final round was Atlanta. I broke my thumb there, mm-hmm. and that was actually my best finish was 13th, which I had a little help. You know, a couple guys crashed, but hey, yeah. I claimed it. So
yeah,
no, and then yeah, I made a pretty big change this off season with swapping facilities and trainers, and yeah, it looks like it's paying off good.
So. Yeah, it's really good. It's nice to see you're a big Pulp MX fantasy guy for points, right? People are picking you, and it's paying off. So that's great. What's been your favorite round so far? I mean, obviously, look, the one you did the best at was Dallas. But what's been the favorite round or the best round you think so far for you?
I'd probably say the Texas round, just because like I feel like that track was a really good track. I had that one really big rhythm right after the start, mm-hmm. and I feel like that kind of separated, you know, the guys, the top guys, and you know the guys who were on the edge, which kind of played in my favor a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, no, I mean I really like that track. I think the tracks all year have been great. If I had to pick one, definitely probably the Texas round so far.
Dude, you're also getting into these mains straight from the heats, you know, for the most part. Like that's awesome.
Yeah, it's so nice. LCQs are sketchy. They're dangerous.
They are.
That's one place you don't want to be. And yeah, that's kind of the goal all year. It's not to do any LCQs, you know.
Yep.
Obviously, unless there's a mechanical or something. But if it's up to me, I prefer not to do the LCQs, go straight through the main, mm-hmm. and work on it from there.
Yeah, it's good, man. You've really been doing a good job. Keep it up. I was at the Triumph info at the Triumph launch talking to Ezra Lusk, a buddy of mine, and he was telling me about you and working with you, which I had no idea because Yogi is as low key as they get. How did that come together? What's it been like?
Yeah, so when I was at MTF, his son Huddy was down there, and I worked with him a little bit here and there, but then they actually left MTF, and I felt it was time for maybe a change of, not necessarily a change of program, because I didn't think it was working at MTF. Mm-hmm. It's just I've been at MTF so long, and I think it was just time for a change. So I came down to the Lawrence compound, and we hit Ezra up, and he was willing to, you know, to work with me, and he came down, and it's been great. Man, he's very, very smart with the motorcycle, how to set it up, mm-hmm. how to, you know, I think he's made really big gains with me just in the little bit of time we've had, because I didn't get him the whole off season. You know, we had him maybe 3 or 4 weeks leading up to round one, and maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks during the season so far. So I'm still working with him every day, and he's just not physically here, but he's going to start coming back, you know, with our break. And yeah, the goal is just to keep getting faster and faster. You know, he shares everything he knows and how he did it back in his day to mm-hmm. me, and we kind of work on it through there. But no, he's been great. You know, I couldn't ask for nobody better to help build my program.
I wonder if you being from Georgia, being a nice dude and everything, kind of played into it, because, you know, he doesn't need to do this, right? He's fine. I wonder if just he saw something in you, you know, kind of like himself back in the day.
Yeah, you know, and that's another thing. He's told me that before, that he doesn't have to do this. He doesn't need to. You know, he really likes me, and which I'm very thankful for. And yeah, you know, I think he enjoys it, you know, mm-hmm. seeing me progress. And that's kind of what he says. He goes, you know, I look back at it, and, you know, I like to see results. You know, it doesn't matter how fast you go through the week if you can't put it together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's how he feels like it it kind of pays him back, is me getting good results and just from there. So
he was kind of telling me, I don't know if it's changed or if it was different, but it's a week a month is what he's kind of committed to. And then obviously, you know, over the phone and text messages or whatever, but he's kind of with you at the Lawrence compound a week a month.
Yes, that's where we're at. And of course, in the off season, he would come down a little bit more. I think I'd get him for 2 weeks, mm-hmm. 2 weeks out of the month, but it's harder during the season because, you know, we only ride maybe 3 days,
yep.
Mostly 2 days. And then it's kind of recovery's days and stuff like that. But no, I think he's going to come down for 2 weeks during the break. Still going to work out the details with him. But yep. Yeah, no, I talked to him. I mean, I text him throughout the whole day, every day I ride, kind of updating and stuff that I'm feeling and stuff that he thinks, okay, well, you know, let's make a suspension change here. This may help, or, mm-hmm. you know, try this in the whoops. But yeah, I communicate with him, you know, probably more than I do anybody else throughout the day.
So what has he helped you with the most? Like obviously he had a great career. He still rips on a bike, by the way, at the Triumph thing. He looked great.
Oh yeah.
What has he helped you with the most, you think, from last year to this year? And is it mental? Is it riding technique, or what can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I can't just say one thing. I think he's helped me in the whole aspect, whether it's mental, physical, you know, just on the bike, getting comfortable, setting it up better for me, positioning, just kind of everything. You know, it's hard just to say, oh, he helped me with my mental, because that's mm-hmm. that's not true. He's done everything. And no, man, we've done a lot of big days here, I can say. And I've probably, man, I'm putting two hours a day on the bike when he's here. We do big days, but quality days, you know. It's not mm-hmm. you know, big days of brainless riding and not getting better. Mm-hmm. I feel like almost every day he's here, whether it's a little gain or a big gain, we always get something out of it. And I think that's what's really helped me this year from last year, is just, you know, when you're tired, he's there. He's we're pushing through it, you know, just getting better each and every day on the bike.
I feel like, and you know him better than I do, but I was a mechanic when he was racing. I've known him for a long time through Red Dog. Yogi's going to be like, hey, this is what I see. This is what I think you should do. And if you don't do it or whatever, he's just going to just walk away. Like, he's not going to yell at you. He's not going to get on you. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember we did something and I didn't do it right. And he kind of looked at me. It was no screaming. And it's like, almost like he preferred to scream at you. It's like, I feel like I let him down big time.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of them situations you don't want to be in. Like, he won't scream at you. He won't cuss at you. It's just like we're having a conversation, but I feel like, damn, I really just let him down big time. And that's worse than the screaming for me.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt, right? Gage Linville here on the FXR Racing Race Tech Suspension Privateer Island Life podcast. Thanks to the folks at Firepower, firepowerparts.com, chains made in Japan, featherweight lithium batteries. They got oil made by a leading OEM manufacturer. Of course, the Firepower parts team with the Dean Wilson, Max Anstey, doing a great job. Firepowerparts.com, get your local dealer. Thank you to those guys. Gage, I saw you at the Lawrence compound when I was there a couple weeks ago before Daytona. And yes. I was talking to Darren Lawrence about you a little bit. That was a few days after Yogi had told me about working with you. So I was watching you a little bit. They don't let everybody ride there. You gotta make sure you fit in with everybody and stay to the schedule. So what did you do to get in at the Lawrence compound? Who'd you talk to? How'd it go?
Yeah, my dad actually messaged Dan Truman, and they got it worked out there. And then when they said I'm allowed to come in, you know, that's kind of a no-brainer. Remember the two best guys in the sport, plus the guys here who train, you know, are also very, very fast. So
yeah,
it's just an opportunity that we couldn't pass up. And, you know, getting here was a big change just riding-wise and stuff with, you know, not being at MTF because I was there for so long. And, but no, you know, you see how the fastest guys arguably every weekend do it. And, you know, it makes you kind of want to be like them and obviously not slouch. You know, you don't want them to see you slouching. You know, you wanted them to be like, hey, it looks like you've been riding good. And, you know, that's something Jet and Hunter's told me a good bit, you know, with little tips here and there. So, you know, it's nice that when them guys notice, hey, you know, he's a hard worker, you know, we're going to help him out a little bit more maybe and just stuff like that.
Yeah, Darren and Dan both spoke highly of you, you know, your attitude, your work ethic, all of that, right? So they were pretty stoked on you being there. Now, when I was there, you were kind of doing your own motos away from the brothers. I don't know if that was just that day or if you're in a different group or whatever, you were kind of by yourself a little bit. Well, so how does that work, or how does that go on as far as riding?
Yeah, so normally, like, I'm not going to say I go out there and just moto with them guys because I don't.
Right.
I'm normally pretty much whenever I want to be, I can be on the track with them. You know, they have their program. I have mine. I try to sometimes, you know, stay off the track when them guys are riding just to watch them guys and see how they do it different. But actually, the week of Daytona was a little bit different for me. I didn't really want to be close to them guys just because I was dealing with a little sickness. And, you know, that's the last thing I want to do is get, you know, them guys sick sick. Yeah, so I was trying to be a little distant. But, no, you know, for the most part, it's good to get out there and ride with them guys because when they pass me, it's, you know, can I latch on to them for a section or two? You know, obviously I know I'm not going to be there the whole moto. But, no, it's good to even when they're riding, if I'm off the track, just to go out there and watch. You know, them guys do stuff on a motorcycle that you honestly can't believe. So it's good to learn from them guys and just watch visually.
Who do you ride with mostly there? Who's around your level?
Yeah, you know, Drew Adams is here.
Yep.
I ride with him a good bit. Chance is actually a little bit faster than us here.
Yep.
Me and Drew's pretty close. You know, Matty Jorgensen, Dominique Thierry.
Yeah, well, that's where
Thierry's
there, Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a really, really good group here.
So sometimes you start in front and just try to hold everybody off for as long as you can, or Drew starts in front or whatever, right? And it's just like try to keep the super fast dudes behind you as long as you can, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I try to ride motos with them, you know, as much as I can.
Yep.
Obviously, they're on a different program than I am, so it's kind of hard to train with them guys. But as much as we can, we try to hop out there with them and you know, kind of see where we stack up, you know, because Chance is one of the top guys too every weekend.
Yeah.
So it's good to see where we stack up with him, you know, how far we're off and kind of expect to be, you know, within a goal of that. So
does the factory bike that Chance have depress you sometimes, or are you keeping a level headed about that?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of a love hate thing. Chance has obviously earned his ride. You know, he's one of the fast dudes and, yeah, you know, it shows. His bike's fast. He's fast. So just pretty much from there, you know, he's probably one of the fastest 250 guys on the weekends. I know here he is, you know, he's another one who gets on a bike and does some crazy things sometimes.
Yeah.
But no, you know, it shows on the weekend for him. He's a top five guy if he puts it together.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Will you train off the bike with Burner? Are you in that group?
I am not. No, okay. I have a fitness guy, and I also do Ezra Lusk, because, you know, Ezra, he does my program too, pretty much on off the bike, and I do have a fitness guy.
Okay.
Who kind of, they work together a little bit. We kind of come up with a program mm-hmm. for that. So, but no, I mean, I have cycled with Burner and them guys before.
Yeah.
So.
And so is that what you'd most, do you do a lot of road stuff? Is that, I mean, I guess not, mountain bike doesn't count in Florida. So road stuff?
Yes, I do. I actually just started, and I'm not going to say just started, but I really done a lot more the last, probably since I've been with Ezra, probably 3 months mm-hmm. than I have been in my life. So I think it's helping. It's easier on the body, you know, than some of the other stuff of running and stuff like that. So.
Yeah. And so what does Yogi have you doing? Like, kind of his program? Has he outlined it for you a little bit? Like, what, what's it like as far as how much the workload is?
Yeah, it's a lot. I'm going to be honest with you. We do a lot of riding, especially not so much now that I'm racing on the weekends.
Yep.
But no, I think the program works great for me. And we kind of talk about it. Sometimes we change it up a little bit here and there. He normally sends it on like a Sunday night for the week. But if we need to change it, we will. But no, I mean, it's definitely a lot of riding.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I'd probably say I do the most riding out of anybody here. But, you know, I have to. You know, I'm not Jet or Hunter Lawrence.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going out winning on the weekends and being a top guy. So for me, you know, I have to continue to get faster and build on it. And I think that's what Ezra sees too. So it's good for me to put in the extra laps.
Dude, Jet's just ridiculous. Just I imagine you can't watch him too much. Just when I was there, he got out of shape in the whoops. He jumped in too far, and then he tapped the rear brake, hit the whoop, started skimming them about halfway through. Like, you're just like, this fucking guy.
Oh, it's insane. I remember watching him. We had another set, and he just wheelied the whole whoops. Never front end, mm-hmm. never touched. And it's like, you look at that, and it's like, well, I know I'm not good enough, so I need to even try that. I just need to worry about getting through them as fast as I can before I start a wheelie or anything.
Yeah.
But, yeah. On the Daytona track, he came in and he literally like jumped four in and just skimmed out.
Yeah,
and I was like, I don't know, man. That shit's crazy.
Yeah, it's got to be depressing to some dudes to watch him ride. It's something else, man. He's special. What the hell is the Dirt Bike Depot Racing Team? What is this thing? You guys you got a bunch of good guys on there making main events. How did it come together? Who is it? What's it like?
Yeah, it's great. You know, I was on Firepower last year, and unfortunately I didn't have a good year with them last year.
Mm-hmm.
Just with dealing with some injuries and just not confident in myself. And I lost my ride. I didn't have a ride going into this year, and Max with Dirt Bike Depot, you know, he said, hey, you know, we're building something here, mm-hmm. and we would like you to be a part of it. And after a week or two of talking to him, we was able to get it signed and going. And I will say it's better than I thought it was going to be leading into round one.
Yep.
He's been great. The team's been great. You know, we have three other riders on there, and, you know, they're great. I trained with Marcus pretty much my whole time at NTF, so I've known him. Raced with Bryce Shelley. Logan was he's a little bit older than us,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, he's a good rider too. So it's actually a great team. Obviously, you know, we don't have the support of the factories or some of the top privateers, but for what we have, I think we're making a name for the team and stuff. So I think it's a great opportunity,
mm-hmm.
and just looking to kind of build on that. So
yeah, everybody in the main event this week, right? All four guys.
Yeah, it was the other guys' first main, which I was stoked for them guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I think that they're all more than capable of being in the main every round. It's just about putting it all together.
So you're allowed to ride whatever you want. It's kind of your own bike, own suspension, own motor program.
Yeah. So as far as like that, we do our own. You know, they have some team sponsors who help us out.
Okay.
You know, with sprockets and chains and stuff like that. But as far as bike, motor, suspension, we run. You know, it's our own stuff. We buy that ourselves. So.
Okay. And then they pay some expenses too, or they would pay entries, or how does that work?
Absolutely. You know, we pay nothing for this. They take the bikes, all the races, all of our parts,
mm-hmm.
and we, like I said, we pay nothing. It's a deal that you know, we have some great sponsors, team sponsors that help us. But, yeah, you know, yeah. they do all the transporting, which as a privateer, they know that that's huge.
Yeah.
You could spend easily, I mean, thousands of dollars in gas and stuff like that. But, no, it's great for that. You know, that saves a lot of time and money for us, too. You know, that's the extra day we get in of riding and mm-hmm. can fly to the races and not drive, you know, 18-hour drive just to race and rush home to ride. So it helps out a lot.
Yeah, it seems like it's a neat program for sure. And, yeah, it does. It helps. Every little bit helps. Is O'Neill a team thing or is that you?
No, O'Neill is a team thing, which okay. is great. And I was actually just with O'Neill for outdoors, which was right before this deal came along.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily they ran O'Neill. And everybody at O'Neill's been great. You know, they send us, we get two or three sets a weekend, and practice gear is always fresh. So, yeah, you know, it's a great deal for them, too.
Awesome. That's good to hear for sure. Gage Linville on the FXR Racing Race Tech Suspension Privateer Island. Pulp Mex 30 is the code to save at FXR Racing and Pulp 24 at Race Tech. Thanks to the guys there for helping us out. Great privateer supporters, both FXR and Race Tech. And thank you to Maxxis Tires. Speaking of privateers, PRMX, Mad Parts Kawasaki using Maxxis Tires out there putting in the main events. They got the soft intermediate to hard terrain tires. Great mountain bike tires as well. At Maxxis, so please check them out, maxxis.com. Thank you to those guys for coming on board. So, Gage, I'm guessing, like, between Yogi and the Lawrence compound, your dad's helping you a lot with this?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, if it wasn't for my dad,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be, you know, where I am today of racing and where I'm at. But, you know, I know it's a lot of money, and that's another thing, like, we can't afford to go out there and just slack off every day. You know, I know he's spending tremendous amount of money. And at the end of the day, it's to get a ride, you know, mm-hmm. somebody who can, you know, pay. And it's not costing us so much because, you know, my dad's getting a little older in age. I know he won't be able to sustain this for much longer. So,
yeah.
you know, it's just about trying as hard as we can to get, you know, the best we can get.
Yep.
And, yeah, like I said, without him, none of this would be possible.
No, so. That's awesome. How's Darren Lawrence for you? You know, he's a smart guy. Obviously he's got his kids to look after, but at the Lawrence compound, can you pull Darren aside or can he see something and chime in?
Absolutely. When I first got here, I hopped on outdoors for probably 3 weeks and,
yep.
you know, like the second or third day he stopped me, you know, I didn't even hardly know who he was besides the Lawrence, his dad. I didn't know his name or nothing.
Okay.
He's like, "Hey, mate, try this with your bars. I think it'll help you." You know, went back, swapped, and it was great. And it's like, wow.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
It's cool that he pays attention like that, too, to mm-hmm. to us and tries to help us, you know, be the best we can be, which is amazing.
Yeah. Growing up in Georgia, I'm guessing you know, did all the amateur stuff, followed through with that. How'd it go for you?
Yeah, I mean, really good. I really good 50-65 guy.
Mm-hmm.
I took 3 years off, actually. 85s, missed all my 85s, came back, I was like 6 foot, 150 pounds on 85, and it didn't mix well. Went to 125s, won Loretta's on a 125, was a pretty successful, I'd say, 125 rider.
Mm-hmm.
250B rider, I won a good bit. I was with the Yamaha factory amateur team, and A class was the same, you know, I won a little bit in A class, not as much as you know, in B class, but uh-huh. I was always there, and then, yeah, just kind of from there, went to the pro ranks.
And how'd you get on with Yariv at Firepower and do the World Supercross and all that? How'd that come together?
Yeah, so, you know, that team's based out of MTF.
Yeah.
We've known Martin Davalos for a while.
Sure, yeah.
So, you know, he was there at MTF for a good bit of his last little career.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, he saw the work I put in. You know, I'm a really hard worker, and at the time I was – top 3A guy.
Mm-hmm.
So it was able to work out. I was able to you know, get a 1 year deal with them and do Australian Supercross, East Coast, and I actually got to do the first rounds of Worlds with them. But like I said, I broke my thumb in Atlanta, so we didn't really have the proper prep time going into Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you know, I struggled pretty bad at Worlds, and we had went back and kind of discussed it, and you know, it had 5 or 6 weeks before round two, but it was just my thumb was still bothering me at the time, and it wasn't a good look for me or the team to go out there and run 18th, you know.
Yep.
I felt like I should have been top 10, but like I said, I still had a thumb issue, so we just decided to go a different route. Nothing but good things to say about them. They understood, we understood, and it's a great team. So
now, I guess that was a Honda ride. Now you're on GasGas. How did that come together?
Yeah, so I rode KTM 250s, and actually, I'm still on the old frame. I haven't even got the new frame yet. Just from, you know, people we've talked to, suspension guys, I heard that the new frame they were struggling a little bit with, and they had the old frame figured out, so that was kind of a no-brainer for especially a privateer. You know, I don't have the resources as the factory teams to go out there and just swap parts, you know, every weekend. So old frame's been great. You know, I got a good motor under me, so yeah, you know, I really like the old frame. I haven't rode the new frame yet. I think the plan's to hop on the new frame after Supercross and kind of go from there and see how that goes.
So you got enough bikes and parts and everything for the older frame?
Yeah. Fortunately, we were able, I mean, I just got a new bike before Supercross, and it was not even a problem finding the old frame, which is kind of surprising.
A little bit.
Yeah, I mean, parts is good. So it's actually, I mean, I feel like I don't have any kind of issues, you know, finding parts if we need it even now. So.
Yeah. And do you gel better? I mean, look, you're having a better year than last year. Do you gel better with the GasGas than the Honda? I mean, you also had a thumb injury, but what do you like about the GasGas / KTM from the Honda?
Yeah. Honestly, I think a lot of that's confidence too. You know, I didn't have a good off season last year. I broke my collarbone twice and then fractured in Australia. So I was a little nervous coming into the whole Supercross thing last year, but I rode KTMs a good bit through my amateur career. So that kind of felt second nature to me.
Sure.
And then obviously, you know, just riding here and training with Ezra, I just felt more and more comfortable. And, you know, I think now if I hop back on a Honda, I'm going to feel comfortable or whatever.
You just feel so much better, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like a totally different person this Supercross season to last Supercross season.
What did you make of the sort of tamer mud Supercross track design in Birmingham? It still got bad. It still got ruddy. Like, holy shit, it was sketchy. But what'd you make of it, of the layout?
I thought that the layout favored some of the guys who struggle more at a real Supercross.
Mm-hmm.
Just with no whoops, I think that's the biggest part. I think that's probably the biggest separators on the track. The rhythms were, and I had this conversation with actually a couple guys today. The rhythms itself were easy, but they were tricky because how soft they were.
Yeah.
It was the type, like, if you weren't on your toes and, you know, making sure, it could catch you off guard, kind of like it did Romano, and, you know, it bites you that quick. So I thought the track was, for the rain we got, it was a great track. It was an easy track, but a hard track at the same time.
Were you doing that three after the first turn in that rhythm? Did you pull that thing out or no?
I didn't go double three. I went double, double, triple, double, which I think a lot of the guys did that. Mm-hmm. I think some of the top guys went double, triple, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
But I never did that line, but I did do the other line. It was just a lot faster than going, you know, double, 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 triple out.
Yeah.
So
it was funny because it seemed like some of the guys that I watched, you know, were trying to do the opposite rhythm to stay out of the ruts. Right? Whenever you could.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Yeah. Like I said, the ruts were, you almost like you would see them, but they were a different type of ruts once you're in them. Like, it was just real grabby, slowed your bike down. Like, you really had to pay attention to that, or it'd bite you.
What's your plan for the summer?
Yeah, as of now, Dirt Bike Depot, they only do Supercross. I haven't had anybody kind of reach out yet. So the plans to do outdoors, obviously we can't do all the rounds, not as a privateer.
Yep.
That's just, it's too much.
Yep.
Definitely sneak in, you know, 4 or 5 rounds, you know, closer to the East Coast rounds. Maybe some tracks I've rode before, Redbud, a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's the goal as of now. And, you know, obviously if something happens and I can do all the rounds, I'd be more than happy to. I like outdoors. I feel like right now I'm a little better outdoor guy than Supercross. So I feel like that could kind of play into my favor. So,
you did the futures last year.
Yes.
What? I talked to Bennick about this. I was like, "Hey, man, does the futures really prepare you for this stuff?" And he's like, "He's like a little bit, but it's kind of like times 100 the real thing." What is your take on the futures versus the real thing?
I think Futures now is definitely better than it was, you know, 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
At least you're on a full Supercross track. Yeah, you know, I think that they prepare you, I'm going to say, probably as best as they can. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't, I think it'd be difficult to throw all the amateurs out there and do a full race day like we do. I think they actually get a couple more practices to learn the track and a main event that's like 6 or 7 minutes, I think, or maybe 8 actually. But I think they'd struggle a little bit more with the longer main just because, you know, your mind can wander a little bit, makes it a little difficult. But no, I think that it's definitely going in the right direction.
Right.
I think like I said, 3 or 4 years ago when they did it on Sundays, like that was just pretty much a waste of time, I thought.
Yeah.
Like you're hopping on a Supercross track that's not even a Supercross track.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like that for Arena Cross, too, when they tried that, too. It's like,
absolutely.
Not really.
Like it's too much of a difference. Now I think they're kind of in the ballpark with it. At least you're on a full track with them. Mm-hmm. You kind of understand how the track breaks down and stuff like that. And that's what I've told, like, a lot of the guys who ask me, hey, how is it being pro?
Yeah.
It's like the tracks are, like, they're gnarly, don't get me wrong, but they're nothing crazy. The gnarliest part is how they break down.
Yeah.
Like when you have 12 ruts hitting a triple, like you can't simulate that. Not every day for practice. Like that's what makes it gnarly.
Yeah. What about how much difference was it going first or second? Like 450s first versus 250s, and then now this weekend it was flipped back again. Is there much difference for you?
Qualifying, honestly, probably not, because I think we're still third or fourth. So I mean, that wasn't a big change. Now, the heat race is a pretty big swing.
Yep.
Just because, like, you go from 2 450s and then possibly a 250 before you of, you know, track being a little soft and them guys going for it, then having a perfect track or a track that's damn near perfect. So I think it plays a bigger part in the heat. I think for qualifying, obviously, the B and C group in 250s, they kind of get the shit into the stick. But for the A group, I think it's honestly about the same. It kind of prepares you, I think, a little more when the 450s go first of how the track can be later in the main event and stuff like that. So,
what's it like for you to be in a seated group for qualifying?
Oh, my gosh. That's so much better. And it's not even the fact, like, the track. Like, the track's a little better.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that, hey, you know, there's 15 guys that are better right now.
Yeah.
You know, you can just latch onto one of them, and if you can tow them for a lap, boom, you just jump, you know, from 21st to 17th fastest.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. Like, the speed of them guys is there. It's just about latching on to them and you know, running that pace.
Yeah, plus not as many yellow flags, right? Unseated, yeah. There's yellow flags, and you're just like, oh, shit. So.
Yeah, you know, you have people who probably shouldn't be out there in some of them.
Yep.
And tend to crash. You know, they may be down 2 or 3 laps, and you know, you can't jump on that kind of stuff. So you just wasted, you know, 2 or 3 minutes of practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least, you know, in A group, you know, them guys, they know what they're doing, to say the least. You know, them guys are fast. And even like if there's rhythms that you're kind of unsure about, you know, there's a good chance at least 4 or 5 of them guys are hitting them. You just hop in behind them and send it.
Yeah. And send it. That's the key.
Yeah.
Yeah. FXR, Race Tech, Roost MX, Alpine Stars, Maxxis, Firepower, all on board with this show. Gage, you mentioned your dad and how big of a help he is. Did he race back in the day? Did he get you into racing?
Yeah, he did. And I joke with him all the time. He claims he was A-class, but I don't know. I'd have to say a good C-class rider.
Why? Have you seen results or video? Have you seen results or video? How do we know this? Well, yeah.
I've seen some pictures, and he wasn't a style king, I'll just say that.
All right.
But, no, I mess with him all the time about it. But he never went pro.
Yep.
He raced some amateur stuff, you know, with his dad and stuff like that. He jokes with me all the time and says he was a champion, but I haven't seen the results. So I mess with him and say he was the Florida-Georgia champion.
Yeah. Yeah. That's,
but, no, he raced, or he knew about it, you know, when I was born and stuff like that. And I was able to get into it and, you know, haven't really second-guessed it since.
So you've been doing it since, like, young. Like, why'd you quit for 3 years? What happened there? You get into girls or BMX or something?
No, my mom and dad went through a pretty nasty divorce.
Okay.
And, I took 3 years off and kind of came back and felt like a pretty much a D rider. I wasn't even a C rider. I felt like a complete goon.
Well, that's kind of like that's like a formative years for riders, you know, that you missed out on. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I had a really good deal before this happened. A lot of people don't know. I had a Geico deal back in 65s.
Oh, okay.
So I was pretty sought after young.
Yep.
I grew up, you know, racing the Reynolds and stuff like that. So, but yeah, you know, I feel like that kind of hurt me. But looking back, like, it definitely hurt me in the amateurs. But now, you know, I've been back riding a while. I can't say it hurt me now. I think it might have been, looking back, maybe good at the moment because I feel like I needed a little break. But again, you know, it's kind of it hurt me, but it didn't. You know, it's hard to say.
Yeah, it is one of those things. It is what it is. Life, you know, life gets in the way sometimes, and there's nothing you can do about it. So you can either sit there and go, woe is me, or you can just, like you said, accept it and know that it doesn't hurt you right now.
Absolutely.
You know?
You know, nobody cares what happened to you, you know, 10 years ago, eight years ago.
But even like with amateur racing, I get a lot of shit from people for not caring about amateurs because I really don't. I don't really know what goes on. I mean, I know some of the big races and stuff, but it's like this past weekend in Birmingham, like, nobody cared how many amateur titles you had or anybody had. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter. So,
yeah, I mean, you're not going to go get a ride saying, hey, dude, I had 70 national titles as an amateur.
Yeah.
That does you nothing in pros.
No.
You look over on the gate and, you know, 95% of the guys on the starting gate is like, oh, well, I got 40. You're just one of them now.
No, for sure. Look, you're way too young to have been around when Yogi raced. Your dad probably told you about him. Have you watched any old videos?
I have. Yeah, it's hard to find some of, like, the full races, but Dad looks up to him like, oh, this guy was, like, he was the guy back in the day. And I'm like, yeah, right. And then I go to pull up videos and stuff, and it's like, oh, like, he was the guy. And then Ezra told me, he's like, yeah, I have, you know, 23 wins. And it's like, oh, shit. Like,
yeah,
he was the guy.
Yeah. It's hard to get anything out of him because he's got no ego, you know?
Yeah, like, literally.
Like, yeah. But, like, he doesn't have any championships in the premier class, but he beat all the guys in the premier class on his day. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Ricky, Jeremy, Villaman, like, Pastrana. Like, on his day, he beat them all. Reed.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
So, I always got a lot of respect for him because he always was classy. He was always a nice guy. And then every so often, man, he'd show you how good he was, you know?
Oh, yeah. And that's even, like, training. Like, he's like, if I was on a bike, I'd do this. And it's like, yeah, you know, he has a point. He would do it this way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know,
right?
It's not like one of them people who hits you up on the Instagram message. You're like, hey, dude, you need to try this. Like, guys never even touched their bike.
Right.
You know, when he says it, it's like, oh, shit. Like, he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, so are you hoping to keep working with him? Like, that's the plan? Everything's going well? Because, I mean, certainly your results are on the upward trend.
Yeah, as long as he'll work with me.
Right.
You know, I love him. You know, he's great for me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, as long as he's willing to keep doing it, he messes with me sometimes and tells me if I don't get any better, then he ain't going to do it. So, kind of a building thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, as long as he's willing to work with me, I'm down for it.
Dude, I literally think he said that to me at the Triumph intro. He's like, if he ain't getting any better, I'm out. I think he said that.
He's not scared to tell me that. He's like, hey, I go off results. You know, if we don't start getting better, I'm out. And it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, I better stick it in high gear.
What, obviously you were at MTF for a long time, like you said, Brian Johnson and everybody at MTF, they do good work. What do you like about your program now compared to MTF? And I'm not trying to get you to, you know, talk bad about MTF, but what's working for you compared to when you were at MTF?
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, MTF was the second home to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still think of them as my second family. I stayed with Colleen and Big B a lot as my amateur career.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're a training facility. They have a lot of guys there. And I think here I can kind of get a little more one-on-one, especially with Ezra. You know, somebody who was the guy, like you said, back in the day.
Yep.
Who just kind of maybe understands it a little bit more as a rider's perspective. So, yeah, I think just, you know, the one-on-one stuff helps me out a little bit more. That's a big part of it.
Do you think that they ride a little too much at MTF? I've kind of heard that they ride a lot, and that's good for some people, but sometimes it could burn people out. Do you agree, or am I off base?
No, I mean, absolutely. I see what you're saying. I think it's different for each rider.
Okay.
I feel like I'm the type that I have to ride. Like, I can't go say, you know, I race Birmingham. I can't go and just, like, ride one day because I feel like, to me, and it could be a mental thing, but I feel like I'm losing you know, I know my competition's out there riding every day.
Yep.
So for me, like, I feel like I need to ride. As far as big days, they do have big days, but I'd say I'm probably riding more here now than I was there.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's more of quality laps, you know, there when there's 10 people on the track and they're training 10 guys, like, you could get away with slacking more or not fully trying. We're here, you know, Ezra's one-on-one with me. He sees everything that I do. So, you know, you can't slack or he'll just pull you off the track better yet, he'll start walking to his truck. Then, you know, it's game over.
Then it's done, right? It's over.
Yeah, you don't ever want to see him start walking.
No. Triple Crown this weekend. Have you done one of these?
Yes and no. I done one last year, but I was in section 122 watching the whole race. So, yeah, you know, I'm looking to qualify definitely a lot better this weekend with only taking 18. I think it's a different format. I'm not going to say good or bad because I haven't done one.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully I'll let you know how it goes this weekend. It's a better night for me.
Yeah, it's go time, man, to get in. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah.
And I think that's going to help a little bit. I got press this weekend.
Oh, you
do? I know
do?
Some guys
nice.
Don't
okay.
like press.
Yep.
I think it'll help out. I think being in A practice helps out. So the cards are in my favor. It's just about if I can put it together or not.
Yeah. Well, I mean, dude, you're riding really well. So, like, you're
Thank you.
You know, you look at Henry Miller, you look at Welton, and you look at you as three privateer guys that are doing it every weekend, you know?
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
So that's a nice spot. I mean, they're finishing a little higher than you, but you're getting there. So
yeah, and you know that's the goal, is to be up there with them guys, because at the end of the day, they're on privateer teams too. And I just got to put myself in better situations to join them guys, you know, to be closer to the top 10 and fighting for top 10s.
Well, cool, man. Hey, thanks for the time on the FXR Racetech Privateer Island podcast. Nice to get to talk to you and chat. And, man, it's been a really good start for you. Pulp Mex Fantasy players are very happy with your season so far. And working with Yogi, riding to the Lawrence compound, you seem like you're doing everything right, man. And you're getting rewarded. So it's got to feel pretty good for you.
Absolutely, and I appreciate you having me on here, and yeah, you know, I'm definitely trending in the right direction. It's just about continuing to be better every weekend, you know, week in, out, and like I said, thank you for having me on here.
No problem. Thanks, man. I appreciate it, Gage. Good luck this weekend, and I'll probably see you in the pits somewhere. Thank you, bud.
Yes, sir. Thank you.